Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Show on the Fan started up with the Monday. Leroy Butler, Leap 36, the Sparky Fifron, Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, and the Gravedigger Gilbert Brown in the house here on a Monday. Started out right on the Wendy's Big Show. You can listen to us 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, in the radio.com app. Also online, 1057FMTheFan.com. You miss anything, go to Fan On Demand, brought to you by John Paul's Buick GMC. The phone number is 414-799-1250. The Wendy's fresh, never frozen inbox is live at 1057FMTheFan.com. You can reach us on Facebook and Twitter, 1057FMTheFan. On both, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, a lot of interesting goings on in the NBA earlier this weekend, and I woke up in a cold sweat, guys. So like I was sleeping, it was like 2 a.m. I woke up on Friday and I just woke up in a cold sweat, knowing I was forgetting something, knowing I didn't know something. Mm-hmm. And I woke up, I'm like looking for my phone, I'm throwing things around, I'm throwing my jeans all over the place, waking people up. Like, what are you doing? I'm missing something.
What's that?
And it was that Kawhi Leonard was going to the Clippers, so I immediately saw it on my phone.
Up, you just woke up 50 years old, that's all.
Then woke up, ran into
right,
the bathroom,
Steve, that, and that happened a long time. You're 50. Yeah, you're a millennial, so you're probably freaking out. What's going
freaking
on?
Out. I knew I was missing something.
You're welcome to our world, son.
Well, I'm glad. I was finally able to experience one of those moments where I knew I was missing something. But it was craziness as Kawhi Leonard goes to the Clippers, along with now his new best friend, Paul George.
Before we get all that, Gilbert Brown is here, sitting across from us. I mean, it's hard to ignore Gilbert Brown when he's right in the studio. Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler is here. Gilbert Brown is here. Gary Ellerson is not here. He's up today. So Gilbert figured it would be a good day to come in. So Gary's out. Gilbert is in place of Gary Ellerson. And you got your football camp coming up July 9th through the 11th at North Division High School. We'll talk more about that in a couple of minutes. So we'll talk about this Russell Westbrook thing. Apparently, with the Kawhi Leonard deal with Paul George, was convinced by Kawhi Leonard at a lunch meeting to go request a trade from Sam Presti and
the
Oklahoma
media
City
didn't get
Thunder.
This one. Nope. They had all these rumors out there.
That's why he didn't want anyone knowing.
They all missed.
They didn't see this.
Nope, they all missed.
Kawhi's not the type of guy like LeBron to put together a team. Yeah, he is.
Yep, so he goes, and Paul George goes to OKC. Sam Presti says, well, I don't want to be dealing with this all year, so okay, fine, we'll do it quietly.
Do it your way.
So Presti decides he's going to try and leverage Toronto against the Lakers to see what they can get done. Toronto against the Clippers and gets a boatload of draft picks to move Paul George. Now, at that moment in time, Russell Westbrook now panics and says, I'm not staying on this sinking ship if we're moving on and we're going to rebuild. And then earlier today, they trade Jeremy Grant to the Denver Nuggets, so he's another piece out of that puzzle from Oklahoma City. And there sits Russell Westbrook, the lame duck, with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And they now are saying, hey, open for business, come get him. Whoever wants him can have him. We're open to trade offers. So now you have Miami is being speculated as being a possible piece because they have Jimmy Butler. Those two will kill each other if that happens. Detroit is another possibility. Him, Andre Drummond, and Blake Griffin, maybe. That could be a possibility. Obviously, the Rockets are being thrown out there. I don't see how that happens. It's another possibility. So you have all these teams being thrown about.
You're looking at teams. I wouldn't look at teams. I would look at owners.
Because ownership is what gets these deals done, as you saw Steve Ballmer with the Clippers.
Right. What owner wants to do this kind of deal? They're right here in Milwaukee. How can you not let... Listen, what do you want, okay? What do you want?
Steve's going to get the vein really early popping out of his forehead.
Hey, man, stop it. I told y'all, you know, I'm a Laker fan. I disappointed a little bit, but I'm moving on. Okay, for him coming there.
You got DeMarcus Cousins. You're all good. Rondo's there.
All
Danny
that sound
Green.
Good. Yeah, sound good, but it ain't Kawhi.
Your boy Quinn Cook?
Yeah. Name more, I don't even know. Don't even know their stats, Gilbert. I don't know these scrubs. He yelling at Pope and all these Caldwell, Gene, John Pope. Stop it. Listen. I told you guys, these organizations are not talking about the future. They're going to gut these teams out to try to win now. That's just where it's going. So, Steve, who took over? Lazary?
Lazary.
Email to him. Can you make this work?
Leroy.
What do you want? Draft picks? How many years you want? Give them the next 25 years. These draft picks don't turn out no way. That's why people getting them up. You're trying to win now. You got a taste of almost having a parade. Now, normally, I wouldn't even be on board with this. But if they're open for business.
Open for business. Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give them Bledsoe.
Yep, Bledsoe would go.
For sure.
Ersan would have to go. Like Sterling Brown.
Pack them up.
DiVincenzo, maybe. Yeah.
And then give them 10 years worth of draft picks, first round, protected. Yep. I don't even know what that means. The last time I taught protection, I had 7 kids. So I don't even know what that means.
So you don't understand the meaning of that at all.
I don't know nothing about it, not since college. I'm trying to get a parade. You go get Russell Westbrook. There's your signature move if you're an owner. There's the splash.
No, that's the one that puts
splash.
Your name on the building for the rest of your life.
Yeah, so you can say now you're talking about championship
mm-hmm.
with two super, super stars, MVPs.
And two guys that when you look around the league.
You got a third piece is Middleton. Got to keep Middleton.
We talk about, we got the ultimate get off the bus guy right here in Gilbert Brown.
Oh, yeah, he's big.
Russell Westbrook and Giannis. Yeah. Those are two dudes when you get off the bus, you walk out onto the bench, onto the floor, they take attention from everybody. You are immediately, I would put it at the most feared team in the East.
All right, so that's Leroy's.
Hands down.
That's Leroy's take.
Yeah, he's big.
Gilbert Brown, what say you?
I'm going to go. How many people listening?
About 2.3 million.
Westbrook! Yeah, I'm going to go with him too, man. I think that he would be, you know, it's all this kind of hiccups and stuff about is he going to, people swallow their pride in order to get a championship.
That's right.
And that's what he got to do. And I think that bringing him on board, I don't think it'll hurt. I really don't. You see different people. Because right now, he ain't had nothing over there. He ain't got nothing over there now.
Right.
So he needs a team, you know. And I done seen, if we could use football terms, I done seen the worst guys change. When Andre Rison came to us, what did he do?
Yeah, you're right. Nobody wanted him.
Nobody wanted
Nobody.
Him.
Nobody.
We took a shot.
Say this bad moon rising. Nobody wanted
great to song.
And he was a great teammate.
He changed. You know, so there's hope. There's hope.
And I think the tough part about Russell Westbrook is, too, like, he's never been known as a bad teammate. He's known as the dude that wants to take a shot every single time that he can see it. But if he sees somebody, like Giannis, he knows can take over, doesn't that allow you to defer in more of a understandable role as an 8-time All-Star at 30 years old or 31 that he'll be this year?
He could be saying to himself in the back of his mind, I play with KD. A guy that took a lot of attention and it didn't work. But Giannis is different. Giannis is different because Giannis is not calling these guys up and say, come play with me.
Mm-hmm.
This one would be put together.
And that seems more like Russell Westbrook, if anybody. Mm-hmm. He's going to be the guy that's not going to be trying to call everybody up and be buddy-buddy with somebody. Like if Jimmy Butler gives him a call, hey, I'll answer the phone and we'll talk. Maybe I'll go down to South Beach. But I'm not going to be trying to construct something in OKC unless you bring him to me like Paul George. Sparky's been stewing over here. The vein is just about to pop out.
Does he know I'm right? He hate to say Leroy's right. Listen, don't say it, Steve.
You both are very disappointing to me. Both of you. You and Gilbert both are very disappointing.
Right?
Yeah, I understand. But you two and Gary Ellerson, and I always give Gilbert credit for this, and you, Leroy, and Gary. I've been doing it for years. You three convinced me when we started this station till now over the course of time that chemistry is so important to winning. It is. So important. When we started talking to all of us, I was like, man, y'all are crazy, man. Just give me those talented dudes. I will figure it out. And y'all, that's not that easy, Sparky. You're wrong. And I came to my senses over the course of time that you all were right. Now you're talking about taking this me first dude, Russell Westbrook, who's about getting his triple doubles and getting his numbers and going down in the history as one of the greatest of all time and all this other stuff, putting him on a team where, yes, you have the MVP in Giannis, but you also have a guy that isn't really a dominant personality per se. Russell Westbrook is. And you're going to go into that locker room. Now it's going to be Giannis and Middleton versus Russell Westbrook. Now, from a talent perspective, oh my God, I'd take him any day of the week over Eric Bledsoe, right? I mean, that's easy, right? From a talent perspective,
no doubt.
Those three guys should win NBA titles, plural. Those three guys should win NBA titles. Plus, you still have Brooke Lopez. You still have Wesley Matthews. You've got other pieces, George Hill. So Westbrook can play off the ball. George Hill can bring the ball up if you want. So, yeah, that all works from a talent perspective. I just think you have a possibility of ruining the chemistry of this locker room, which, I don't know if it's special, but it's been really good the last couple of years with Giannis and Middleton, these guys. They all enjoy playing together. Mirotic gets here, tells Paul Gasol, man, this is a dream scenario here. Like, these guys are awesome to play with. You should come here and play.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
When does, now we've just seen a lot of great selfish players.
Sure.
In our time.
Yeah. Kobe.
When do they figure it out in order for them to get a championship?
When they get older and realize they can't do it by themselves.
I think he done figured it out.
That's the key. Mm-hmm. If he's there.
Now, if you had did this 4 years ago, you may be right.
If he's at that point, cool.
I think he figured it out.
That's what we don't know.
He got to be one of those guys that a great player, but he don't have a championship.
Right.
Yeah. You don't want to be Barkley.
He don't want to be like that. No.
And because he's going to be put into a different realm because of Leroy, like what you said, he ran, I mean, not ran, but he was the one, the lone survivor from KD and Harden and Paul George.
And all them gone.
And all of those dudes.
And most of them got championships.
Mm-hmm. And most of them also have MVP awards.
And playing for championships. And good. Again, this is the only place for him. I don't see no other place. I'm saying ownership now. Because I don't think he'll be bothered with in New York.
So you're not seeing 2-1 odds that he goes to the Knicks?
Y'all need to stop this stuff.
4-1 that he goes to the Heat.
You do that. Pistons. And you're the better. You do that.
I mean, we
money,
love
right?
him in Detroit, Leroy. We need some help down there.
In Detroit, they got to rebuild more.
Oh, that would be a scary combination up there in Detroit, too.
They got to sell tickets. That would make a lot of sense.
He'll be the biggest thing since Eminem. If you go
Detroit, we got new Little Caesars Arena down there. We need to put big people in seats.
Now, my issue would help. A lot more people in seats as long as they were selling the $5 hot and readies. They would get me there for sure. No doubt. I would be there hands down.
Because every day was outside everywhere.
Sundays. Guys, this is the Wendy's Big Show. We got Gilbert Brown. You hear the Gravedigger right there. His all-pro football camp coming up tomorrow, July 9th, 10th, and 11th over at North Division High School. As somebody that attended when I was a youngster, back when I was 10 years old, Gilbert, it's really, really cool, primarily because this is a free camp to
anybody.
Totally
free.
Can't beat it.
Totally free. The kids love it. I challenge everybody. I want 1,000 kids to come through that gate if I could. I'm feeding them breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Mm-hmm. So there'll be a lot of grown-ups there, too.
Yeah. I got to keep them away.
I got to keep them behind the
yellow tape. But it's a great opportunity. Leroy's going to stop by. I'm going to have Santana in. A lot of guys coming in to help out. But the most important thing to me is teaching these kids life skills.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's not going to be a professional athlete. So I have the military there to talk to them. I have doctors, lawyers there to talk to them so that we can all understand that it ain't just a professional way we can get out of this hole that we're in.
Mm-hmm. Well, and two, when you guys do this as well, when you're able to show, like you said, because not everybody's going to be a professional athlete, whatever it is, 0.0001 or whatever. Mm-hmm. But football, in I'll say this as somebody that's very biased towards football, it's a game that you have to rely on others for the
ultimate
success of
sport.
That is really how you grow in life. You're going to need to be able to rely upon others to be able to get where you need to go as well.
It teaches kids. It taught me how to learn how to share. It taught me how to learn to rely on the guys next to me. It's a great team sport. And I always try to tell a lot of people that always talk about football or whatever, even with some of the kids that are, let's say, like challenged, it helps these kids. You don't know the power of team, not just football, basketball, baseball. You don't understand the power that does and the confidence that it does to get these kids to do these things. So I'm just so happy I got the opportunity to teach them.
Wear a white or light shirt, color shirt, no baggy sweatpants, no jeans.
No
make sure that you're ready to go.
No. Pants hanging down to your knees.
No, can't do nothing.
Yeah, you ain't getting in the gate, partner.
No. And you're also gonna have some trouble going through some drills if you got the pants hanging down towards the knees as well. I'll tell you that much.
I love the volunteers. Gilbert has hundreds of volunteers. As a matter of fact, our good friend Mike is here today.
He'll have eyes.
We'll tell you that joke off the air, but we love him because he's very organized and he makes sure everything is on point, especially the other players that come to speak to the kids. Mm-hmm. And the kids love it because they look forward to every day. And how many years you've been doing this in a row now?
14.
That's amazing. Mm. And think about it. If you're a kid, if you're like, 10 years old when you first went there, you're a grown man.
Mm-hmm.
And those kids come back.
Yes.
And to help volunteer. Yes.
And talk.
That's the full circle.
And talk about what they went through when
I
got there.
As 24 years old, I think I said I was like 9 or 10 years old when I was able to go for the first time. It was one of the first years that you did it, man. Yeah. And it was a free camp where you were able to learn from professionals and see guys that were able to get there, but also, like you said, be able to go from 8:30 to noon if you're a youngster, 8 to 12. Mm-hmm. You can go get lunch provided, or for the afternoon group, 2 to 5:30. You're going to be 13 to 17 year olds. So what's
the grown folks?
I was going to say, what's the difference between what the gravediggers running the kids through in the morning and the afternoon session?
Well, it's
we splitting up downs in between here. Or what do we got?
It's tough love. It's tough love in the afternoon. We get them in the afternoon.
Because you should know better in the afternoon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But in the morning time, we show them a little love.
Them the babies. Yeah.
Yeah.
We take as it care should of them. Be.
We got to.
You throw the little screen pass, even let the big guys touch the football every once in a while.
That's right.
That's the Gravedigger. This is the Wendy's Big Show here. You going to stick around for another one? You guys a couple of times?
Yes,
awesome.
Yes, please.
Gilbert Brown, Leroy Butler, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, and the Wendy's Big Show. But more importantly, it's always a good day to go to Wendy's, get yourself frosty, because I'm sweating already.
I know, right?
Already. You knew it was going to happen, Leroy. Yeah, what is it, 218? I'm already beating up on the forehead.
That's me, you're working.
I love a day's double.
Dave's double, you're right about that.
Now we're talking.
Right. Chicken sandwich. Hey, tell them about that barbecue chicken.
I don't need no frosty. I want a Dave's double.
I'll take your frosty then.
The Made to Crave menu just got an upgrade at Wendy's. A chicken upgrade. Just when you thought the Made to Crave menu couldn't get any more delicious, we got a full lineup of awesome chicken sandwiches at Wendy's. Introducing the avocado BLT sandwich, the sawsome bacon chicken sandwich, and the barbecue chicken sandwich. That's my favorite. Three bold choices packed with flavor. So why settle for basic when you can upgrade with fresh, never frozen beef or tasty premium chicken? Go ahead, satisfy those cravings with any one of Wendy's epic choices. And don't forget, throughout the summer, mom and dad, when it's dinner time and you've worked overtime and you have no time, well, that doesn't mean you have to cut corners for your kids. Wendy's quality kids' meals, with everything your kids like, for just $1.99. That's right, kids' meals for $1.99 after 4 o'clock throughout the summer at Wendy's. You can get something for yourself there, too, at participating Wendy's for a limited time.
414-799-1250. Do you want Russell Westbrook? The two former Packers say they think he's ready to rise. But is he? Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. I'm Bill Baby Tausch Schmidt, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown, and Leap 36, soon to be 2020 class of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Not a prediction, ladies and gentlemen. It's a spoiler. I've been telling people for quite some time. I've actually told people, Gilbert, Dave Baker's one of my favorite people in all of sports, because he's got to be the scariest looking human being when you like walks into a room. We were showing some highlights over here to the young interns that didn't get to see the Gravedigger play. You came up on the NFL Network's top big guys, number 2 all time.
To the GOAT. I don't mind being second.
I was going to say, you can take second to that one if the fridge guard coming front.
Yeah, when you sit there, you look at all that stuff, man. It's just appreciative to be able to be mentioned in the voices of Refrigerator mm-hmm. Perry or a Wolf Falk or, you know, them type of guys. So it was cool for me.
Cool. I'll tell you this, as somebody that grew up as a pear-shaped youth myself, Gilbert, you were an inspiration to the big dudes. But also that you could be a big guy and have a little bit of swag and also celebrate.
Oh, now, yeah.
Leroy Butler gave me some crap for my celebration tactics and
this guy.
I'm really glad that I can finally ask somebody that has the knowledge that could give me the help that I was asking for.
Steve noticed. So he comes in, you know, he's a football player. Mm-hmm. I got a question to the Packer Hall of Fame. I said, well, okay, great.
Leroy, I got a football question for
his,
you.
His, you know, he got a football question. Yeah, that's it. So he set me up. Mm-hmm. I thought he maybe want to know how to kick step, get back quick, and set up. Maybe it's leverage. Mm-hmm. Make sure somebody don't jab him in the chest. Or something. Guess he asked me, Gil.
What?
Should I wear a visor on my helmet, or should I not wear one?
Does he look good, feel good, play good?
I just walked
Roy
off.
Was so
I just walked
mad.
Off.
You didn't talk
I said,
to me
you
for like 3 weeks.
I said, you wasted my football. Not on whether or not. You should wear a visor?
Hands down. Yes, sir. I had to. I had to get it from the source.
You should have fired him right there, Steve. You should have fired him.
That's a question you asked these young cats today. They will answer that for you.
Well, at least ask somebody who wore
school,
one like
us
you.
Old school, us old school guys, we lose our time.
Wasn't dealing with any of that.
Yeah.
Now, you did use the visor, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he kept getting poked in the eye, right?
Yeah,
same thing for me.
And
was that
with
the Cowboys? I'm trying to think what Tina was. Poked you a couple times.
I came in wearing that, though. I came in wearing my
visor. Oh, okay.
So.
I know
I wore
Eric
it in college
used to do that a lot.
Yeah. It was cheating.
Yeah.
Fat Newton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not
Big Nate Newton.
I'm sorry. Nate Newton. I'm sorry.
That was for Tim Allen.
Tim Allen.
Was a good one. That was a good one for Tim.
For
he'll have
boy.
That one out there ready to go.
Yeah.
So out of all the teams that you guys went up against, obviously the Cowboys, Leroy will talk about for the battles that you guys had.
Mm-hmm.
But the number one nemesis for you being on the interior side of the ball back in the 90s, who was the one dude that you knew lined up against every single, or whenever you went up against him, you're like, okay, I got my work cut out for me this week. Or he's got his.
I haven't met him, and I'm still looking for him.
Did you expect any of that?
When you find him.
I had a problem up with something.
When you find him, let me know.
Hey, you know what? Tell the story about the Vikings. Because people, it's a wise old tale about how you got to be a Packer.
We got that long time for me to tell that long story?
Give me the Cliff Notes.
The Cliff Notes.
Because I think it's an amazing story that people don't know.
Okay.
Maybe a few, I know your fans know, but maybe not some of these other people riding around in their car. Like, how did Gilbert become, because I heard he was
I can push the brakes all around over here, Gilbert. You take your time.
Who was the running back that they had? I'm trying to remember. In 93, who was the starting running back for them?
Do
you remember?
Was it Robert Smith? No.
He came in with me. Whoever, if you looked that up back then, the starting running back be in training camp, because what happened was, I was there, I didn't like it, that they had rookie hazing and all that other crazy stuff, and the big old offensive lineman was ripping off bumpers of people. I just didn't like it, Leroy.
That's not happening.
I was waiting
taking
on that to happen in my
car.
Just ripping it off, and thought it was funny. I said, man, I'm from Detroit. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Then all this football stuff will go out the window. But, you know, I was going through all that and all that crazy stuff. Like, I always tell everybody, if Chris Carter was to walk through this door right now, I'd punch him in the mouth.
I would
try to knock them caterpillars off his face.
Was he mean to you?
No, he was on me like.
Really?
He had me stand up saying for my lunch and dinner. Come in his room, take his garbage out.
You had to say the Kansas fight song?
Yes.
All that
stuff, man. So anyway, we get through all that.
I don't know.
And we got through training camp. See, everybody thought I just got cut, but it didn't happen that way. I got through all the way through training camp. Mm-hmm. It was the week of the first game. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the starting running back that they had got hurt. So they had to go out and get another running back.
Oh,
you see
okay.
what I'm saying? So they had to clear a roster spot.
Yes.
So Dennis Green, God rest his soul, called me in his office and said, hey, man, look here. We got to put you on waivers, but we're going to hide you in the room for a couple of days. Then you come back to practice. All I was thinking about, am I still going to get paid, bro?
Right.
If I ain't going to get paid, I'm going to go home to mama.
Yeah, I'm going to be out of here.
So he said, no, I'll just go back to the hotel. I'm a dude that listen. I didn't go to my locker. I left the facility, drove over to the hotel.
So your locker never got emptied?
No.
No.
Drove over to.
Well, he said he never went back to his locker, so as long as anybody else knew, he was still on the team.
That sucker might be still with my stuff in there. So anyway, I drove over to the Seville Hotel. I knew the girl at the front desk. As soon as I walked through the door, she said, hey, man, a Gary Reynolds from Green Bay called you. I said, for real? I said, I'm going to take it up in my room. So I went up to my room. I asked him. I called him. I said, yes, sir. He said, you are a Green Bay Packer now. I said, for real? He said, I'm going to send you a plane ticket and you can fly in tomorrow. I said, dog, I got my truck. I see you tonight.
I thought they changed their mind.
Dog, yeah. Dog, I packed my truck. And whatever was in my locker in Minnesota is still there. I might have $20 somewhere. It's still there. I got in that truck and drove straight to Green Bay.
Really?
Soon as I got to Green Bay, I think I got there like 4 o'clock in the morning, put my stuff in the room. I had some idiot in the room with us. But I get out there, and guess who the first person I see? Reggie White. Walk. I just was like a groupie.
Really? That's a Reggie White.
I mean, Chris Dolman and Henry Thomas and John Randall, they cool.
They're good players. Yeah.
But
yeah,
Reggie White just crossed my face. I almost fainted. I did. I almost fainted.
That's amazing.
I almost fainted. And then on top of all that, I got Leroy Butler sitting next to me in my locker, and I got George Kuntz on the other side. I'm in heaven.
You didn't have any of that hazing crap and all that other stuff.
None of that stuff, man. Because a young guy, they give you damn near a Webster's dictionary to read your plays and all this other stuff. And how could you do that when you got all that stuff, distractions and stuff?
Some guys didn't eat.
Yeah,
there were some rookies just didn't eat because
they had a receiver. They had a receiver in Minnesota named what was his name? Eric Gulliford, I think it was.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And they taped him up.
Yes, they did.
And when they cut him, they cut the tip of his thumb off.
Oh, my God. They cut the tape off?
This is a receiver.
Oh,
Lord.
And they cut the tip of his thumb off.
Mm-mm-mm. Playing around.
Playing around. So I couldn't wait to get out of there.
That's why you...
Grown men should never wear purple anyway.
Damn right.
That's why you show the empty cigar box over to Viking fans every time they come in here. That's why you don't win any games, like you just said.
I remember the snow stupid caved dude in the Metrodome.
I think I was on top of it, Leroy. and that's why I try to tell everybody. I say, I dare you to find me in a Minnesota uniform. Yeah. I used to back out of it when they took the pictures.
Really?
They'd be like, team picture. I'm like, mm-mm.
Slide off to the back.
So wait up. So
I would duck down.
I got a question there.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've ever heard this. I've known Gilbert forever. So then how did the next conversation happen with you and Dennis Green? Who thought he had you hidden away and you weren't going anywhere the next day?
When I saw, you know how you do when you walk on the field and you see the dude and he's just staring at you. I hit him with the head nod. What's up, dog?
Yeah.
That was it.
What's up, dog? Guess what?
Don't come no further. This is,
guess what, dog? I get one before y'all.
That's right.
They never got one.
They aren't who we thought they were.
God is good, I tell you that.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And God bless the Green Bay Packers, as they always say. No doubt. It's Gilbert Brown, man. You can go to Gilbert Brown Foundation, All Pro Football Camp. Just look up Gilbert Brown Football Camp right now on Google. Punch it in. The flyer comes up. It's tomorrow. It starts at North Division High School, 1011 West Center Street in Milwaukee, 53206. Leroy Butler said he's going to stop by as well.
He's in Kansas.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Leroy.
That's my boy. He's Les in the
Miles,
Ring of Honor.
Less Miles than them.
Up there.
Gonna change it, huh?
Yeah. I always have my KU hat on.
Sure.
When I'm out there and stuff, but I'm aware of it pride now because we're gonna stomp a mud hole in a few people.
Yes.
So how much do you hate Baker Mayfield after that little antics that he had at Kansas?
If he was walking around, I'd pop him in the back of his head. I'm for real. I wish I was still playing. I wish I was still playing. I'd break out the old steam shovel for his ass.
It wouldn't have gone down so smoothly.
My, my neighbor has a shovel, a Gilbert shovel that he signed over his fireplace.
That's amazing.
And he bought it.
Hey Leroy, things. Earl yeah. just texted me and said he's coming out there.
I love Earl Dotson.
Earl Dotson.
That's the one I told you about, Steve. We had the appearance in Madison, and he would not sit down to sign until he went and got some coffee.
And he lost all the weight.
Yes.
He lost a ton of weight.
Bro, you want me to bring you something back? I said, it's starting.
He looked like I don't know what he looked like now. What he looked like?
He a model.
Looked like he fell and everything fell off of him.
They came back from that weekend, and Gary LaRue were like, dude, you got to see what Earl Dotson looks like. You are going to recognize the Sparky, and they're showing me pictures. I'm like, yep, I don't recognize him.
He had to have coffee.
Good. He looks real good.
Hey, after a quick timeout, can you say one more segment?
Yes, sir.
Something just came across from NFL.com concerning Carl Lawson, the edge rusher for the Cincinnati Bengals. And he had some interesting things to say about Aaron Rodgers, and I want to get both of your thoughts on what he had to say coming up next.
Beautiful. We do that next. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Back on the Fan, Gilbert Brown. Yeah, you heard that. The Gravedigger with us, along with Leroy Butler.
Gilbert started 36. On this show years ago. We used to have, what year was that, Steve? When me, him, and Gary used to do.
2008.
Y'all kicked me out.
Oh, you got big time.
Y'all kicked me big time.
Yeah, you big time.
Is that when
guy.
You started coaching?
With your lingerie league?
Yeah.
See? Yep.
I was a big fan of that.
He can't be a coach because he doesn't like to yell. He doesn't like to yell, so I don't know how you're going to get people to do something at the football camp. You just give him a hug. Okay, you dropped the ball. Okay, go back. Then one of the other coaches just let him have it. Gilbert said I was fine.
Gilbert's just saying, come on, next up. Let's go. Next rep.
Yeah. That's funny.
Some interesting quotes here from Carl Lawson, Cincinnati Bengals edge rusher. This is up at NFL.com, and Anthony Mandela put up on our website as well. This was from NFL Network's Good Morning Football earlier today. Quote, honestly, I think it's easier to sack Aaron Rodgers than most quarterbacks. He sits there and he pats the ball. At the same time, sacking him don't mean nothing if you don't go do it for four quarters, you know. He came back against us. So, I mean, he's an easier quarterback for me to sack personally because he sits there. He probably gets 8 to 10 yards in the pocket. He's got a great left tackle in Bakhtiari, so he just sits there. He waits, getting that read. When he gets sacked, he doesn't get flustered. I only saw him get frustrated maybe one time when I did sack him, which was the third and a half sack that they took off, negated by a penalty. So then they asked him, you know, who's harder to take down. He said, the toughest of sack, those young quarterbacks. Offensive coordinators like to protect. Maybe a Trubisky or someone like that. The guys that sit there maybe like five steps get the quick reads. The guys that are like, I'm not calling them not elite or nothing like that, but the guys that kind of have more help in their offense than opposed to guys like Rodgers. And Tom Brady, I haven't sacked him or played against him. I've just watched him. I watched the film and I'm like, oh, he's getting that ball out in like 1.9 or 2 seconds, end quote. Mm. From Carl Lawson, again, on the NFL Network earlier this morning. So I don't think anybody's going to disagree that he holds and pats the ball forever. I think we all agree on that. But to that point, Gilbert Brown, who was the one of the easier guys for you to sack back in the day that you enjoyed playing against, and who was maybe one of the more difficult guys for you to sack back in the day?
Well, I ain't really get that luxury. You know, I mean, when you got the all-time sack leader left and Santana and Sean, you know, they.
Man, you're being modest.
If they would miss.
You clean up.
I would clean it up.
Collapse the pocket.
My job is to flush the guy out.
Yep. You know, or swallow him up.
Flush him out to the pretty boys so they get all the glory. That was my job. But I mean, the mobile quarterbacks that can throw were always the difficult ones that we had to worry about.
Young?
You know, like a Steve Young or when it was, what's the other guy that took over Steve Young? Start with a G.
Garcia.
Jeff Garcia, type of guys.
Kaepernick.
You know, yeah, the quick, but it was so, if you don't have a plan to box him in, you're going to be in trouble. If you don't have that plan, if you don't have that guy like myself that can flush him out,
mm-hmm.
and you got the good defense bookends like we had to go chase him down, then we'd be in trouble.
So if he steps up, he gets to go to another read. So you need guys to push that pocket.
Yeah, you got to keep them big boys in front of them to have them when they wheeling back like that with the hands up.
Right when you get them inside the chest plate,
yes,
you already knew.
Lord. Yeah, yeah.
You already knew right when the collar was into your gullet. You knew it was done.
I remember when the 49ers, they went out. Remember they had like Ron Brown and all them guys.
You know,
They was used to go try to get guys, and they bought in. How big was Grogan?
Grogan was gigantic.
He was like 6'8" or something like that. So
like 370.
We broke the huddle and we get. Yeah. I get out. You know, I got on my knee and I'm getting ready. I looked. I said, "Man, you ain't supposed to be here. You supposed to be out there. Why you in here?
Yeah, why you at guard? You a tackle."
He said, "Well, they I'm gonna block you." Sorry, dog. Let me go put my hard hat on, and I'm gonna take you back down to the quarterback.
With Kevin Gates.
What I mean, Kevin Grogan was always trying to fight somebody too. Yes, always trying to fight somebody.
Big old dude.
Okay, so who was the favorite one to get into? Favorite quarterback to sag and make sure. Unlike the Clay Matthews rule where you guys were able to land on the guy and give him a little something extra.
Any quarterback that was behind center against Chicago or the Vikings was my favorite because we just wanted to punish them. You
Kevin
know
Gogan was 6'7", 311 pounds.
Big and that was back in the day, 311 was
He wasn't no 311.
No, he was 311 when he was born.
I mean, he had to be every bit of 350.
Oh, he was bigger than that.
His stomach didn't let him be 311. Didn't you see that? Come on, man.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Come on.
Now, Steve, how would you think Aaron would read that? Would you say he'd be bothered by anything?
Aaron should read it as, well, I got Matt LaFleur here now, so that's going to be the end of those days. Those days should be done. That's how he should read it.
Well, they didn't draft any guys in the future.
No, but the offense should allow for more protection for him because they're going to be running the football more. Yeah. They're going to be using the tight end more. Than maybe what they did.
So he shouldn't be bothered about it.
I'm guessing they'll use more double tight ends.
Do we still got the same offensive line?
Yep.
The same one?
Pretty much.
They added a couple of young guards. Mm-hmm. They added Billy Turner,
tackles are the same.
See, what people really don't understand, and that's what we're trying to tell them. It starts up front. Offensive, defensive line starts up front. You
that's
know what I'm saying?
That's why I want them to get more linemen
in
the draft.
You got to get those guys, man, that protect and that can run block. And that was the thing about Mike Wall and all them other guys we used to have. They could pass block, but they also could run block.
Yeah. With Rivera and Wall, lost both of those guards in the same free agency class.
That's hard to find that combination in an offensive lineman that can pass block and run block athletically. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Now, you can have a big, fat, sloppy, gropey, three sandwich eating guy, but he got to be athletic to make the pulls. He got to be athletic to reach and scoop block and pound double team, get up to the linebacker. If you don't got a guy that can do that, but then step back when he got to and block the defensive lineman, you ain't got a total package.
And they're talking about running a lot more outside zone, and that even relies more on athleticism.
That's what you got to have. You got to have that.
Yes.
You got to have that type of player. And that's the thing that makes Aaron Rodgers great. He wouldn't be a hill of beans if they didn't protect for him. He wouldn't be a hill of beans. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to have that protection for the two-step, three-step, four-step, five-step drop, period.
But
if you don't got it, you ain't getting it.
But as a defender, too, going into a game, you know those guys are tending to hold on to the ball a little bit longer than other guys, too. I mean, you have to. The defense going in, like he references Tom Brady, balls out in 2 seconds. You know you don't have much time to get to him because of how their offense is designed. Mm-hmm. Some other teams, I'll go back to the old Al Davis Raiders, where you're dropping back and trying to throw 30-yard passes every time. You know, guys back then, they're going to be sitting there for a while trying to make that big throw.
But, Spark, you know what's great about the game? You sit there and you watch the film. And you watch Tennessee's. What is crazy is Kabir Baja Bia Miller Jackson Jr. 12. As crazy as he was, I used to sit there and watch him watch film. Okay. Yep. And he used to beat guys straight out of their stance. And it wasn't because of the snap of the ball. You watch the tendency of the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And some of them quarterbacks, they used to get up under the center and their hands would be balled like that. Soon as he know that hand goes like that, the ball is coming. So why are you waiting until he say, go? As soon as he saw those hands, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's still in his stance waiting on somebody to say go. You know what I mean? So the difference of being able to be that athlete where sometimes you cannot stop that because he already know the snap count.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So sometimes it ain't just the offensive lineman. It's the chess game that's going on for four quarters of you trying to figure out how am I going to get to this quarterback as fast as I can.
And you as lining up right over the top of the football was able sometimes to be able to pick up some of those even more than others.
Yeah, I was half asleep half the time, but I don't think about that eight piece after the game because I never ate. Everybody got their pregame rituals and all that other stuff, and that's why I never liked Monday night games. I disliked
it long.
Because I could not eat the whole day.
What?
I never ate breakfast. I never ate anything.
You gotta be light.
If I felt like I put a Tic Tac in my mouth, I was too heavy. So I had to not eat and suffer. But after the game, Lord Jesus, after the game.
Cheese and rice
like,
all over the place.
Oh, my God. Oh, I had an extra sandwich in my locker waiting.
That's the Gravedigger Gilbert Brown. You know what we're talking
Dude,
about.
Dude, how tired were you by like the second half of Monday night game?
That's why I sit there and I think about it. They say, oh, you need to fuel the engine. You need to know. I was just so pissed off because I didn't get nothing to eat.
Somebody you're angry.
Yeah. Somebody go get it. You know what I'm saying?
I'm angry over here.
But that's different ways. I mean, we had guys like Brian Williams. He had to throw up before every game. He had to throw up before every game. And I'm like, dude, what is that doing? Like, if I do that, the stuff I did have to fuel my fire is gone.
It's gone.
It's gone. You know, but that's, I mean, if you, I always say, guys always talk about the good ones don't get nervous. Man, you crazy.
Oh, yeah.
You crazy.
You see 80,000 people.
Crazy. It's not that type of nervous where you think you're about to get beat up or you're getting your tail kicked, but it's that factor in your body that after you hit that first play, everything's fine.
Mm-hmm. You get to do this for 3 hours.
But until that first play goes off, I'm nervous. Everybody's nervous. But that doesn't make you think you're not great or anything. It's just make you think you're human. And you are human if that happens.
So those came every game. How were they before the 96 Super Bowl?
Oh, my God. I almost fainted a couple times.
That's how Luther Vandross, I was like, man, what is going on?
I ain't hear nothing. I was so dizzy. I was crying under my helmet when I came out.
No way.
I was crying. Because I was like, if we don't win this game and my mom and them didn't get to come and everybody, if we don't win this game, I'm in trouble. Plus, we had a powwow right before they started introducing us, man. And the things that Reggie told us in that powwow, I would never tell anybody. But it was just me, him, Santana, and Sean right there. And the words he said to me motivated me and brought tears to my eyes that I was going to do whatever I had to do to win this game for him.
That's the Gravedigger Gilbert Brown. Life lessons, motivation, preparation, and dedication. The Gilbert Brown Foundation All-Pro Football Camp. It starts tomorrow, the 9th, 10th, and 11th, out at North Division High School. You can Google it right now, Gilbert Brown Football Camp right now, and the flyer comes up. It's free to everybody.
Please come out. Please come out. Kids, come on out. Have a great time. Everything's totally free. All you got to do is show up. That's all you got to do is show up. Give me some work, though. But all you got to do is show up.
And you said also, too, it's not just football. You have a lot of people from other walks of life as well there, too.
A lot of life skills. People's going to be out there to talk to the kids. And the thing is that a lot of these guys are awesome. And Leroy's coming out on one of those days to talk to the kids. And I'm just blessed to be having friends like I do.
Gilbert Brown Football Camp, once again, guys, it starts tomorrow. It's completely free. The morning session for ages 8 to 12 with lunch provided. It starts at 8:30 to noon. And then the afternoon session, those are the older boys. They'll get food, too, but they're going to need a little bit more work from 2 to 5:30, ages 13 to 17. Yes, that's absolutely a little bit different work that you're putting in
night
when you're 13.
Yes, sir. And the good thing about it is I'm there every minute. All 3 days. I'm not like these other guys that have got their name on it and show up for 15, 20 minutes. I'm there
what is that?
All 3 days.
You know, because there's plenty of guys that have that want to do it just for the name recognition. Yeah. This is for the foundation and the work that you've been doing. Yeah. You talk a little bit off air. Yeah. You're doing some more foundation work as well right now and just hanging out in the community.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been doing this for a long time. And what's the great part about it is like when I was sitting in my locker and I got Leroy on this side and I got George Kuntz on this side, listening to those guys molded me, you know what I'm saying? Molded me and helped me to be the guy I am today. And I always tell Leroy thank you, because even though he stole all my Michael Jordan cologne out of my locker.
Steve, Michael Jordan came out with a new cologne and it smelled. Allegedly it wasn't me, but Gilbert say somebody took it.
Leroy took my cologne, and George took my deodorant.
Because I can only think if it was free, it was for Leroy. Yeah. And he was going to take three of them.
Right.
Nothing's free over at Pella Windows and Doors, but they'll get you a good deal anyway.
Hey, Pella Windows and Doors, guys, we've been trying to do this for a long time, save you guys some money. If you think about the heating bill, we talked about that in the winter. Now it's the cooling bill in the summer. When you put your thermostat on 68, like me and my son like it, what do you like your thermostat? Would you like a little cooler, like a little warmer? Because
like
girls like it like
60.
You want it at 60?
I need it at 60.
I'm at 68.
I'm a big old dude, Leroy. So I gotta let stuff cool off and air out, you know.
Not as big as you used to be, though.
Yeah, but it's things still,
he's still
big.
Still 6'4". He won't shrink. Still 6'4". Well, when you think about putting your thermostat on, whatever you want it, you want it to stay there. So Pella Window and Doors try to help you continue to save money. They have some great deals now, guys. 0% down, zero financing, everything for 18 months. Just think about that for a minute. They've been saving people money for a long time. Now they want to help you do that. Gina Dell have been doing this for a while, guys. If you look at all the shows, all these commercials, all these companies, they are not finding ways to save you money. Pella Window and Doors has been doing that for a long time. Let me tell you how to get in touch with these guys. Go to PellaWI.com today. Somebody is there to help chat with you so you can get the process started. Now think about that as well. They want to help you along. Or you one of these old, you know, throwbacks, ain't gonna say old, got a flip phone, you want to talk to somebody. 262-783-6600. That's 262-783-6600. And tell them Gary Ellison and Leroy Butler sent you.
Go to the Gilbert Brown Football Foundation All-Pro Football Camp tomorrow, July 9th, 10th, and 11th. It's free. Leroy Butler will make an appearance. Gilbert Brown there every minute of all 3 days, 8:30 to noon for the morning session, ages 8 to 12, and in the afternoon session, ages 13 to 17, 2 to 5:30. Gilbert, appreciate you stopping in, man. This was awesome.
Hey, guys, thank you very much. It's like coming home again, so thank you, Steve Leroy. It's awesome.
Gary's having surgery.
Tight jeans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wore them skinny leg jeans.
Yeah, he need to get some air down there.
Can you believe that? I can't believe these guys wearing skinny jeans like that. Maybe it's just because my thighs are bigger than my arms.
How old is Gary wearing tight jeans? How old is he?
He's 55. He's 55.
55 and still wearing 55. Tight jeans.
Yeah, he wants to be young again.
What's the name of jeans we used to have? Tough skin.
Tough skin.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.